Hey, good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you. I don't know if we could all do this right now, but as we are all sort of meeting virtually, can you sort of virtually hug somebody? Maybe you could do that. Like maybe you could think of someone in the church that you know or you're friends with, and you could just kind of do a virtual hug. Can we all virtually hug? Let's see. There are people in the auditorium right now, and they are virtually hugging each other. I just want you to know. So, yeah, we have abbreviated our services. You may be wondering why we're doing our services a little bit differently. Well, we've done some research. There are other churches that have done this all around the world, and they have advised us to do services that might be a little bit shorter, so that just our attention spans can stick with what we were talking about. And what I want to do is I just want to share a short meditation on how we can respond with courage and hope right now. So church family, throughout history, the church has faced many, many challenges, persecutions, imprisonments, murder of pastors, even epidemics worse than COVID-19, believe it or not. When the church was actually very, very young, a few centuries young, actually, it grew from this tiny band of bedraggled people in 40 AD to over 5 million in about 300 years. How did it grow? Well, it grew in part because of the way Christians responded to two epidemics that killed a significant percentage of the Roman Empire. The Christians cared for the stranger. They cared for the sick. They cared even for their enemies. They were animated by the love of God and by eternal convictions, by beliefs that gave them courage and hope. How many of you know that we have those reasons to have courage and hope today? What gives us reason to have courage and hope? Well, we know that the Lord who loves us, Jesus, is in control. I think a lot of us like to think that we have some measure of control over our lives. I think it takes a pandemic sometimes to dismantle that illusion. This pandemic has caused markets to crash. It's put the future in doubt. But as Jeremiah says, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." We also know that Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. God will never leave us or forsake us. That gives us courage and hope. In Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, God says this to fledgling Israel, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We also know that the coronavirus, along with every other cause of sickness and death, are not and will not be a part of the kingdom of God. At the end of time, we will experience perfect union with God. He will dwell with us. And it says in Revelation 21, verse 4, "He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain." Coronavirus will not be part of the new heavens and new earth. We also know this. We know that we've been given the Spirit of God, and that Spirit is not one of fear or timidity. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." One of the other reasons why we have occasion to have courage and hope is because we have agency. We can enact the love of God in this world right now. We have been given a charge to be wise, but also to care for the sick and the dying. As Jesus said in Matthew 25, when he was speaking to his followers, he was identifying himself with the least among us. He said, "I was sick and you looked after me." Jesus gives us a mission. We are not powerless. We can enact and embody the love of God in the world and to the world. And as for loving one another, this is why we are suspending our in-person services right now. We are not succumbing to fear. We're choosing to do this to care for those in our community who are sick, who are at risk, and who are vulnerable. We have many in our church who could be at risk. Because of the rapid exponential transmission of this virus, we do not want to risk exposure to anyone among us. even though this is less than ideal, I'm super happy we can do this online. One other thing to say about canceling our services. Jesus tells us in John 15, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. What is church if not an expression of this kind of friendship? Our invitation is to lay down our lives for one another. In the very least, that means we can become, maybe just for a little while, a little uncomfortable and do things we'd not prefer for the sake of our friends. I love when we meet together. I really, really do. And we will be able to do that very soon. But I'm also eager to follow Jesus in this way. And what that looks like for us, at least for right now, is that we are suspending meeting in person. In the coming weeks, we are going to suspend our current series on love and sexuality. And we're going to do 4 weeks instead on how we can respond with courage and hope in times of crisis. In addition, as Renee talked about, we'll be doing devotionals Monday through Friday on our Facebook page. A different pastor will show up in the morning to pray with you, to read scripture with you, to be with you. And you can find out more information about that later today. It will be posted later today. You'll find out information, again, as Renee talked about. Be up to date with your emails or follow us on Facebook, and you'll find all of that information there. In addition, we're assembling a care team for those in our congregation who may need more pastoral attention. Again, talk to Brian Vanderwerf. Email him if you are willing to volunteer. Now, on Thursday and on Friday, I made the mistake of going to 2 grocery stores. Lines were snaked around the aisles. Lines were just crazy. People were waiting hours to get checked out. There was no toilet paper. I'm still trying to figure that out. No toilet paper. The canned good aisles were almost completely depleted. It felt like a science fiction movie. It sort of felt apocalyptic, and there was so much fear and anxiety in the air. You could see it on people's faces. My children almost got run over by grocery carts, which is people who are just crazy anxious. Tensions so, so high. I just want to say a few things about how we can respond right now as people who love and follow Jesus. The temptation is really, really great to respond in ways that are harmful. I get it. We can surrender to the anxiety. We can feel it. We can transmit it to our friends and our family. We can get swept up by a world that's currently really, really terrified. And that doesn't really help anyone, least of all us. Or we can throw caution to the wind and be cavalier about this pandemic while unwittingly exposing those who are most vulnerable. This is why the NBA suspended play for at least 30 days. Rudy Gobert, the fine player from the Utah Jazz, mocked the coronavirus by playfully rubbing all the microphones at a press conference and being careless in the locker room. He was the first NBA player to test positive for the virus. He infected his teammate, Donovan Mitchell. Who knows who else he touched? Who knows who else he put at risk? But friends, Jesus offers us a better way. He tells us in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. I think that one of the things that we might do in this particular season is to take that verse, John 14:27, and read it to ourselves every day. I know that as I read it, I get less anxious. Because peace is offered to us no matter what the circumstances might be. We can have peace because of all of the reasons I listed or outlined above. God is in control. God loves us. We have agency in the world. He will never leave us or forsake us. These are reasons that will never change. These are reasons that will stretch into eternity. Peace is the result of the knowledge in our hearts that God will not leave us or abandon us. Peace means that our hearts beat less fast. Peace means we can breathe. Peace means that we can sense the warmth of God's presence. But you might be wondering how to access that peace because you don't feel it right now. I can certainly relate. But friends, I want to say something. I want to say getting peace is terrifically simple. All you need to do is ask. Earlier in the same chapter, Jesus says this, "You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it." If we ask, he will come and he will give us his peace. And I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying you can pray this prayer once and all of your troubles will go away like some kind of magic spell. But I am saying that if we give ourselves to this, we give ourselves to asking for the peace that is beyond understanding, even if it's a prayer that you have to pray with every single one of your breaths, may I just say that I believe, we believe that God will meet you and he will touch your heart. And he will give you that kind of peace, which sounds pretty good right now, doesn't it? And so what I want to do to close is I want to pray that God would fill us with that peace. And so if you're listening right now and you're online, would you maybe put your hand on your heart and pray this with me? Put your hand on your heart and pray this with me. Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill me. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Give me your peace. Give me your peace, Jesus. I need the peace that is beyond the world's understanding, and I need that peace that comes from knowing, not just in my head, but in my heart, that you are with me. Give us your peace. Give us your peace. Let's just take a moment. Just maybe 10, 15 seconds, just a moment to be quiet as God fills us with his peace. You know, I have this sense that even right now, some of you are beginning to feel a little better. I just have this sense that that's happening. That's not psychosomatic. That's the Lord. The Lord meets us and ministers. Jesus, we pray for the healing of the world. And we pray that you would wipe out this virus, wipe out coronavirus, heal all those who are sick. Take this pandemic and completely eradicate it, Jesus. And would you give wisdom to all the health professionals, all the doctors? Would you give wisdom to all the governments? Would you stem the tide of this pandemic and bring healing to the world as we know you can do? In Jesus' name, amen.